You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you our weekly news recap for the week of the 15th of September. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's recap, and once again this week, heaps going on in the world of real estate and the world in general. So again, I'd like to welcome back Mark Edwards to the show, who has also had a big week. Mark, what do you know this week?
I know that we've had an absolute storming week with a number of people coming through the doors here at Elite Agent HQ. We've had Matt LaHood, Fiona Blaney, Tara Bradbury has also come along as well. All of them having sat down with our Transform Masters, the Dirty Dozen, the Super Six and the Lucky Six.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's been some good conversations that have happened there. And I think, you know, sort of the, you know, look out for the podcast in the coming days and weeks on those ones.
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot of content out there. And I know that the guys particularly enjoyed listening to Matt LaHood, who was talking about agency culture and, you know, like, I mean, talk about an attraction agency. Like, there are people sort of, you know, like left, right and centre looking at that business as a great place to work. So Matt gave the guys some awesome tips on building, you know, that attraction culture. So we can't wait to bring that one to you. So the week that was, we're still in spring selling season, obviously, but we saw a little bit of a softening of the auction clearance rate this weekend. So Mark, you're the guy with the numbers. What did you see this week?
I think, yeah, so the main thing that we're seeing is that the preliminary clearance rates that come through on a Sunday, the numbers are still holding up into the 70s. But as I was pointing out on Monday morning, is that as the final results come through, you know, so it's they're settling into the mid to high 60s.
Yeah, which is not a good, or it's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just less than the extreme highs that we have seen, you know, last year before the government started tightening controls and
absolutely
interest rates and
now,
all that
I don't
sort
think
stuff.
Anybody's calling the sky is falling on this one. I think it's just a natural progression of where the market is at the moment.
That's right. No bubbles unless it's in the champagne that we'll be maybe sipping tomorrow, which will be the third anniversary of the magazine, which we're very proud of, and we will be sipping bubbles. That will be the only bubble that we'll be talking about. So what else this week? So okay, so REA launched Invest, which is a new digital search experience on this one for the commercial agents on realcommercial.com.au. So this allows commercial investors to find info on yields, capital growth, occupancy, tenancy rates and more. So that was pretty exciting for REA.
Yeah, it's pretty much all of the various pieces that an investor, you know, or a investor in the commercial space needs to take into consideration. So it's a really interesting development there from our friends over there at REA.
Yeah. Now, it's still awards season, so not only is it SSS spring selling season, but it's also awards season and convention season still. So, you know, there's a lot of trophies being handed out there. RE/MAX, they held the Asia Pacific conference on the Gold Coast this weekend. So heaps of RE/MAX people, and congratulations obviously to Greg Parker from RE/MAX Regency and Robina, who won the Auctioneer of the Year.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, looking at the release that came through from RE/MAX, it looked like a real fun event there. One of the New Zealand guys stood in last minute and wielded the rolled up piece of paper. but you know, so from all accounts, it looked like a really fun, engaging piece there. Also, obviously, Ray White had their couple of award ceremonies.
They've been going around the country doing the individual state-based awards, and
so I think they just had the loan market awards in West Australia.
Yeah.
And that one was a you know, so a lot of the achievers there got recognised for their contribution to the industry, and obviously also to the family.
Yeah, and a big night at the convention centre, obviously last night, where Gavin Rubenstein, who's obviously on the cover of this issue of Elite Agent, first of all, he clocked up his best month ever, selling $50 million worth of property in 19 days in the month
That's
of
incredible,
August,
isn't it?
Which is seriously mind-boggling. And then, obviously, you know, like, came home the winner of Ray White's number one salesperson in New South Wales. Now, he's been in the industry 10 years, and this is his fifth in a row. that he's come out number one in a super competitive market. He's now number one residential salesperson nationally and number three internationally. Now, I had a look at who was number one internationally, and it is someone who sells hotels right throughout Asia Pacific. So Gavin has done very well on the international stage. And, you know, look, I just would like to say congratulations, Gavin, if you're listening. The guy works so hard. Mm. Like, you know, like obviously we've got to know him a bit. And, you know, like I don't want to make everyone jealous out there, but he did send me flowers this week. So
a bit of a fangirl was going on over here.
But, you know, like this is why we call the story Getting to Know Gavin Rubenstein. When I interviewed him, you know, like I suppose for someone that does that well and is constantly in the spotlight and all the rest of it, you know, you might come out with a few preconceived notions about what he's about. But, you know, I can honestly say the guy just works hard. Like, you know, he's come from a very humble family, like, you know, which a lot of people don't know. And, you know, and really, like, you know, as I sort of poked him and prodded him and said, well, how to do this and how to do that, you know, there's no secrets to that guy's success.
It's just bloody hard work, isn't it?
Head down, bum up, you know, and a bloody lot of phone calls.
In the link below of this, of where the podcast is, you'll have a link to the story. So if you've got some time, check it out. It's a very good read.
On the award winner's side again, Andre Frack from Richardson and Wrench.
Yes.
From R&W Bondi Junction. Now, he had a really, like, he cleaned up at the awards, I think it was last week, or it might been Monday, but he had a really interesting story, right? So, you know, like, how hard it is to find good salespeople. He found himself in the same situation earlier in the year and just thought, well, rather than recruit someone, I'm going to have a crack at it again myself. Mm. So, you know, and I thought, and really came out the winner. Now, you know, like, again, his story, you know, no shortcuts and no hocus pocus, no sort of strange, you know, magic or anything like that. You know, he's not about, you know, the big databases and the social media and the gimmicks, but he just says, I had a lot of conversations, and every time I was having a conversation, I was doing a deal. So, you know, like, and he doesn't, you know, talking to the guys at R&W, he actually doesn't like to talk to the media much, so we were actually quite delighted that, you know, he would give us some insight into what he'd done in the past year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I took out of that is, you know, so just the way in which he works his patch and his transactions. You know, quoting from what he said, I don't mine data, I don't canvas, I don't door knock, I don't do scripts, and I don't have a social media profile. But the guy is actually just making some incredible numbers. So again, a very good read on how he's you know, sort of done what he's done in the way that he does it.
Yeah, I know, amazing. Just on the market and stuff in general. So, you know, like, we have seen a lot of tightening of APRA regulations and all that sort of thing this year. So, you know, in our Department of Statistics, let's say the HIA have done the numbers on July, and they're saying now that the stamp duty incentives in bringing back first home buyers into New South Wales and Victoria particularly are working. So they're actually seeing, and there's kind of a nice graph on our website which actually shows, you know, the upswing in first home buyers, which is good to see.
Yeah, it is good, because I think, you know, so for a while people have been looking for what is going to be that magic pill to be able to bring the first home buyers back in. So it's good to see that this you know, these big policy decisions are actually being given the opportunity to be able to do their work and to be able to bring the buyers back into the marketplace, particularly the first home buyers.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, with the tightening of lending to investors, in June, when the big banks lifted the rates for investors, the very next month, almost $500 million of investor dollars fell away. So, what that's actually done, though, is enabled the regulators to be able to enable banks to be able to bring some of those interest-only loans back into the marketplace for the investors, or to drop those rates.
Well, that happened the very next day. Mm. So, you know, one day, and this is the news in general, why some days are diamonds, some days are stones, to quote Kenny Rogers. But you know, like, so Monday morning, you know, the ABS statistics are saying, you know, that investor-only loans have fallen off. And this is obviously the June numbers. And then all come of a Tuesday. Sudden, like, come Tuesday, the Fin Review saying, and now that the banks are dropping rates. But this is nothing new. Mm. So what we do see is that APRA will tighten some controls. They'll turn some knobs and twiddle some levers, and then everyone will go into a bit of shock for a while there, going,
Sky's falling.
Yeah, and then when everyone sort of sees that the water's actually not that cold, then, you know, like it, things come back to life again. So this is nothing new, but, you know, just interesting to see, you know, probably everyone sitting around going, woohoo, the plan's coming together, and then all of a sudden, you know, bam, it's sort of shifting, the sand's shifting again. So, you know, that will be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, sort of again on those, you know, sort of changing the, you know, as you said, twiddling the dials and pulling the levers. In the West Australia budget, they'd also done some twiddling of the foreign investment numbers over there.
Well, that's it. I think everyone was sort of holding their breath, waiting to see what the state government were going to do over there in respect to the property market, because obviously WA have been having a bit of a rough trot for the last, you know, year or 2 years, and very keen to sort of see that the new government wouldn't, you know, do anything like raise land tax or stamp duty or first home owner grants or anything like that. So, you know, yeah, I guess they've listened to REWA, which is good, and they've left that all unchanged for domestic buyers. But once again, foreigners have been hit with a 4%. It looks like, you know, like a brand new tax, like something called an owner duty surcharge for foreigners. So there you go.
They've got the thesaurus out and they worked out another way
another
of saying
term.
It's a tax.
Yeah.
Heading over to South Australia now, a startup has actually developed a new platform which will enable virtually anyone to create a VR...
tour of a home.
Yeah, tour of the home. Yeah. Which I think is quite an interesting development, because it really just does open it up to anyone.
Well, there's a lot of I don't want to sound like a grouch here or anything like that, but there are quite a few of these sort of like more affordable 360 tours and virtual tours and things like that are available. I don't think we've anywhere reached the tipping point in terms of it being a mainstream thing. Certainly, it's not very unique anymore or even that innovative, with agencies picking up virtual reality in all of its various forms. Personally, I am HO. I don't think until Apple come up with some sort of virtual reality app or something that's sort of more mainstream, a framework or whatever, that, you know, that it's going to create too much excitement. Not to say that it won't in the future. So I went out there and made a bit of a prediction this week, and I know, you know, you get nervous when I do that. And this is where, you know, convergence is interesting. Like, to pick up on trends, you've got to look at various things sort of converging with one another. Mm. You know, Brad Inman talked about it at Inman earlier this year when he talked about the drought in California with the skateboarders with the empty pools, and that created this trend of actual skateboarding in the pools and, you know, competitions and things like that when there wasn't enough water filled pools up, basically. But I digress. I'll get back to the point. So the trends that I'm looking at now are unrelated. They're sort of, you know, you've got a trend towards storytelling and marketing, where people actually want to hear you tell a story rather than just give them a bunch of facts and figures. So if you remember back to your history class, were you any good at history?
No, not incredibly good. I was never really good at, you know, sort of just basically sort of consuming just reams and reams and reams of
numbers and facts and dates and things like that. And sometimes the property market can be a little bit like that. You've got to remember a lot of facts, numbers, dates, that sort of thing. And some people just don't have a head for that sort of stuff. But if you can create a story around it, like I had a brilliant history teacher who would bring to life all of the colour around different historical events, and to this day I still remember it. And they say that if you hand someone facts and figures, their recall of it's sort of 10 to 20%, but if you actually tell them a story around it that they can feel
and
build the facts and figures, that the recall actually goes through the roof to about 80%. So storytelling is actually becoming a big trend in marketing itself. Then we go and look at some of the things that Henry Mason was saying at ARIC. So Henry Mason, trend watching, new daily newsletter, which I've signed up to along with the other 200 or so I read to try and figure out, you know, exactly what's going on in the world. So he talked about this, how tech company Intel, so we all know Intel, you know, the Intel, that was my effort at the Intel commercial. They have partnered with a Brazilian online portal to produce a series about how technology can be used in healthcare. So technology for technology's sake, we know, is not that interesting. But in this example, elderly residents in an aged care home were asked about their travel dreams. And often it was about visiting countries of heritage where their parents had come from, mm-hmm. places that they'd never been, obviously coming from sort of poor working class backgrounds. They hadn't been able to fly anywhere. And now that they'd gotten a bit older, they were quite unable to travel. So what this virtual reality app that Intel have created allowed them to do was visit their countries of heritage. So things that they never thought that they would see in their lives, and tell them a story. So it's almost like, you know, we saw this old lady go to Israel and, you know, be able to look around her and things like that. And, you know,
it,
like,
was really moving, actually.
It was really moving. I know you hate it when I watch videos early in the morning when we're doing the brief, but...
It was quite moving to see the actual physical effect that it had on these elderly residents of a nursing home, being transported back to yesteryear, back to where they had all of their early memories. And I think that's where it actually this is driving to, is that people are looking for the opportunity to be able to see
experiences,
yeah.
Or feel experiences. So this is where I sort of think there's a convergence here of that trend of experiences and storytelling and virtual reality, and where it's going to make a difference in the real estate world is we have an increasing population. Particularly in the, like, across Australia, our population has been increasing. Yep. Values have been increasing in traditional or built-up areas, and so let's take somewhere like Surry Hills in inner Sydney, for example. That was the suburb du jour for a while, where all the young, hip, groovy people wanted to live. I was never groovy enough for it, but still I'm not. But so what people want to live in Surry Hills but can't afford to, because Surry Hills is kind of full,
yep.
and because values are that way, that it's kind of unaffordable for young people to buy somewhere there. So now, like, here's another trend, is talking to Nigel Dalton earlier in the year. We're talking about suburbs. If you can't afford to live where you want to live, let's look at suburbs like X. So, you know, suburbs like Surry Hills, what are the up-and-coming suburbs there? But how am I going to experience that suburb, what that suburb's like, unless I get a taste of it?
That's right.
So here's the convergence of virtual reality with real estate, with storytelling, with all of that sort of thing, is I actually think in the future, getting to know the neighbourhood through stories via virtual reality, like feeling that you're already there and having an amazing time drinking coffee and eating your smashed avocado on toast, as though you're in Surry Hills, will be one of the significant ways that a future buyer or a renter just will decide it's finally, you know, it's time to go, it's time
Absolutely.
To move.
And so. I think that's where the opportunity for us as the industry is to be able to be the expert as we are in the neighbourhood,
yeah.
and become a storyteller of the neighbourhood. So I think, you know, so there's things that are going to need to happen. It's almost going to need to be a searchable, you know, I want to live in a suburb like X.
Yeah.
What are those traits? So, you know, I think there's some really interesting times ahead as to how this can be practically applied.
Yeah.
To be a benefit for the industry, and that's where the uptake is going to be.
Well, that's it. I think the takeaway for now even is start thinking about the stories that you can tell around the neighbourhood, and start thinking about the stories that you might tell in the future, and even stories with the property. Like, you know, I don't think a simple virtual reality tour will be enough. It'll be about the stories of, you know, the history of the home, what happened there, when it was, you know, when it was built. What sort of families have lived there before? How can I relate to those people? So I think that's the future.
Yep.
So speaking of the future, just after ARPM, we caught up with Rocan CEO Alistair Maple Brown to talk about what's new with Property Tree. So they've just launched an API. So an API is just jargon, really, for application programming interface, and basically it's just where, you know, one piece of the jigsaw puzzle fits with the other. So if you build an app,
it's the interpreter between two pieces of software.
Let's say you build an app and you want to talk to a big app like Property Tree, you need an API. So they've just opened up their API to a bunch of different stuff, which is pretty interesting. And also Alistair, you know, like, he's a bit of a techno geek like me, obviously, running a big technology company like Rockend. And he's sort of into all things artificial intelligence and virtual reality. In the video, he talks about a personal assistant called Amy, which is available now. So Amy, if you look at website, I think the website's x.ai. What Amy is supposed to do is she's supposed to prevent the ping pong that goes on when you're trying to create an appointment with someone.
So in essence, I was on the receiving end of Sam's experiment with Amy.
Which you also hate.
So Amy was, Sam CC'd Amy into an invitation for her and I to meet on Monday at 11 a.m. and Amy jumped into that conversation and then just tried to coordinate between Sam's calendar and myself, where I said, you know, for example, I wasn't available on Monday at 11 a.m, but Tuesday's pretty good. And then Amy went back and it through this API and integration into Sam's calendar, worked out what an option would be, and then in natural voice came back to me and said, well, how about 1 p.m. on Tuesday or 3 p.m. on Wednesday? So it's like a really effective use of technology.
The virtual assistant you have when you don't have a body. So, you know, like your first digital employee. By the way, it is an equal opportunity robot. So if you don't like Amy as a name, you can have Andrew.
That's right. So Amy Engelman, AI, as in artificial intelligence.
Amy Engelman, so AI, artificial intelligence. And if you want to go and check that out, there'll be a link below in the show notes. Also, like in technology this week, big week. So the Queensland government have decided, as are some of the other governments around Australia, to name a date when they're going to switch off paper transactions with the government.
Yeah, there's been a number of. I actually even saw a announcement that they're turning off the sale of plastic bags as well. So lots of big announcements out of the Queensland government. But anyway, digressing a little. But this is all more about how the transaction is going to be moving digital, and this is going to be happening right across the country, and it is inevitable.
Yeah.
So it was quite an interesting announcement, there's sort of quite a fair bit of content which we're actually putting out as well about this transition to a digital transaction. So please feel free to check out, again, notes below. And if you are in New South Wales or Victoria, there's a couple of sessions, seminars.
Lunch.
Yeah,
find
free
out
lunch
a bit
seminars.
More. Yeah, it's a bit like Sarah likened it this morning in the brief to that time during the K-Rudd era where we switched from analog TV into digital TV. And, we're all a bit confused about what that
Everyone
meant.
Everyone thought nothing was going to work and it was all going to be chaos and mayhem. But now it's,
kind of was that era. Era in general.
But, look, it's all accepted now. And I think, so that's going to be what is going to happen. It's just a matter of being informed.
Yeah.
And knowing what's going to be coming ahead.
So, yeah, get out there and, or online on the website and have a look at what's going on. So that's about it for this week, I think. This is our second weekly wrap episode. We had another one earlier in the week. Well, this will be episode 3 of the podcast because we actually had the uncut version of Jet Xavier's session with the Transform Masters.
Yeah, and that's
Super
where
12.
Yeah, that's where Jet was sitting there in front of the team around the country, delivered his lesson.
John Maxwell's 5 levels of leadership.
Yeah, really interesting that one, and I think also part of that session was a worksheet that you could actually work out which part of your or what type of leadership style you are as well.
Yeah.
So I recommend you check that out, and it's a first for us as well as to having these the entire lessons of Transform uncut and available to the audience. So check it out and have a look at it.
So next week it's going to be a big week in Transform again. Speaking of uncut lessons, we'll have some highlights from Matt LaHood. We'll have his coach interview out to you on Monday. We'll have Matt LaHood also talking about culture, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the full uncut notes from Matt LaHood's session. So there was a lot of good tips on how to engage and motivate employees there. The guys were all pretty blown away by that. Saw them all taking mega notes.
Yeah.
And, I've spoken to a few of them today, actually, just before we came in here to record this, and they've all taken something different away. So there was something there for everyone.
Something in it for everyone.
in Matt Lockwood's presentation.
Well, that's it for the week, Sam. It's been another enormous week. I suppose another enormous milestone for the week is the third anniversary of Elite Agent magazine.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, you know, like obviously we're heading up to deadline in the magazine again, that time when I sort of go a little bit crazy in underground, which everyone's used to. But, you know, if you'd sort of told me 3 years ago that we'd be sitting here podcasting away and doing all these cool things like Transform and all the rest of it, I probably wouldn't have believed you. So I think it's, you know, bit of a surreal sort of experience thinking through that, thinking about some of the amazing people that we've featured over that period. And, you know, and just would really like to thank you guys for your support if you're listening, and hope we can bring you the best for another 3 years at least.
That's it. Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.